Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more, it is my pleasure to welcome our listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, and also to welcome to the show four highly talented and exciting players of the game who have all excelled themselves and distinguished themselves in various forms of comedy and humour. Would you welcome those four, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Jenny Eclair, and Clement Freud, all together? And as usual, I'm going to ask these four to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep a score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the elegant, beautiful Theatre Royal in that wonderful city of Brighton on the coast of Sussex. And we have in... And as you can hear, we have a vociferous, keen Brighton audience here representing this cosmopolitan area who are going to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject in front of me is how to annoy the audience. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Before I start, I just have to make one announcement. Would everyone in the second row of the stalls please stand up? I'd be awfully grateful. And those sitting behind them, if the women could turn round and kiss the men. And you're not much
fun. Paul Merton has challenged you.
Did I detect a hesitation?
A hesitation, yes, more than one, and a long one. I think he was demonstrating ways to annoy the audience, but they were not responding. I should, as this is radio and you can't see what's happening in our audience, I must tell you, they did not respond. So either they were not annoyed, but anyway...
They were annoyed, that's why they didn't respond.
Yes. Anyway, that was hesitation, a correct challenge, so Paul, you get a point for that. You take over how to annoy the audience. 36 seconds available, starting now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I leave you in the capable hands of Nicholas Parsons. Could there be a more chilling sentence in the history of English theatre? Audiences blanch with horror and fear as those dreaded words crash upon their ears. What have we done to deserve it? Tearing their hair out, desperately trying to get through the doors. They're locked, it's too late. This has happened before. Another way of annoying the audience is to actually pick on somebody in the front row, like you, sir, and say, you're a bit bald, aren't you? Would you mind moving your head? The light's shining right in my eyes. That sort of thing.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. And, of course, at the end of that round, he's the only one to have scored anything. Jenny Eclair, will you take the next round?
Yes,
the subject is the advantages of being a woman.
Oh.
Oh, I'm longing when the men get this subject. Right, 60 seconds starting now.
Where do I start? We have a secondary set of sexual organs, our breasts, which attract men like bees around a honeypot and jiggle attractively when we jog. Oh, the sheer barefaced cheek of being a woman. I love it so much. When we steal things, we can blame it on our hormones. Ah! And even if we don't feel like going out shoplifting, we can just stay under the duvet, crying, eating chocolate, watching daytime television, which was invented just for us. Women don't have to do brave things. We don't have to go down and tackle the knife-wielding burglar. Neither do we have to wash our cars.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
What?
A repetition of how we have to.
How we have to.
Yeah.
You're such a game spoiler.
We are playing, audience, we are playing Just a Minute. And there are certain rules. Just because you enjoy what Jenny said, you can't have her all to yourself
and
only.
I'll get it back. You watch.
So it was a correct challenge. So, Paul, you get a point for that, of course. And you take over the subject. There are 19 seconds for you to tell us something about the advantages of being a woman, starting now.
Well, of course, the high-pitched voice is an extraordinary advantage. You can cut through any conversation in a crowded room with some load of old rubbish that's just come into your head about some nonsense or other. And also, the shrill tones are such...
Jenny, you've challenged.
It's for his own good.
This is the first time, and actually, that an audience has taken over the show. And I mean, you are so fickle. A minute ago, you were applauding him when he was lambasting me and being so rude. And now, of course, you can't stand it because of what he said. But, oh, the fickleness of Brighton. But I've discovered it personally before. Jenny, you have a point for a correct challenge.
Well, what was the challenge?
I don't know what it was, but she's got it. And she has 2 seconds on the advantage of being a woman starting now.
I'm far too premenstrual to argue with Paul.
Jenny Eclair was in speaking as that whistle went and gained that extra point. She's now got 3 points. Paul Merton's got 4 and the other 2 have yet to score. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is Fat Boy Slim. I don't know why you're laughing. It's obviously been chosen because of your knowledge of pop world. 60 seconds as usual. Fatboy Slim Clement starting now.
In the 1960s, a pathologist in Brockenhurst in the New Forest dug up a severed leg, picked it up and said, "This is a fat boy's limb." Everyone was immensely impressed. How do you know that that is so? And the surgeon, who had gone in for pathological exercise afterwards, pointed to the misshapen toes, to the inverted knee, and to the cap beneath the shin, explaining that fat boys' limbs tend, on the whole, to be of that nature.
Julian Clare, you've challenged.
Did he misunderstand the time?
No, he's taken it because, I mean, this is radio. It's what you hear, it's not what's written down. It's Fat Boy Slim.
This so is radio.
It's radio, thanks for the tip.
We're being recorded.
Yes, that's right, yes. Why, did you dress for television?
I did, yes.
He's taken it rather cleverly, which the audience enjoyed as well, as Fat Boy's limb.
Well, I'll shut up then.
But it did take you a rather long time to cotton on to that, didn't it, Julian?
Well, I was enjoying it as much as the audience.
Yes, right. So I don't think he was deviating.
No, I don't either, having had it explained. Hush my mouth.
So 17 seconds still available. Fat Boy Slim, Clement, starting now.
I understand that there is a man who calls himself Fat Boy Slim, who sells the...
Julian Clary Jones.
At last.
And what's your challenge this time?
Just so I wanted to say something. He said man twice.
Yes, he did say man twice. The audience applauded them because Jenny, very sportingly, and she shows you, actually whispered to Julian what the challenge should be. Fat Boy Slim, 11 seconds, Julian, starting now.
I've never met the man. I've never had the pleasure of him, but I'm...
Paul, challenge.
Never. 2 nevers.
I never had the pleasure of him either. No, right. Paul, you've got in.
Well, that makes 2 of us.
8 seconds, Fat Boy Slim, Paul, with you, starting now.
Fat Boy Slim, his real name is, of course, Norman Cook, and he's married to Zoe Ball, who is the daughter...
Paul Merton, with points on the round and 1 for speaking as the whistle went gained, has moved forward. Jenny, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Oz... And we'd like you to talk on it, starting...
Can I just ask what that means, Oz? Do you mean as in Australia, short Oz?
No, you see, this is radio, as I said before. It's whatever you like to interpret it.
I thought we were just playing for fun.
We are playing for fun, and you've created a lot of fun already. It's like Fat Boy Slim became Fat Boy Slim.
Right.
It's Oz. You take Oz in any way you like.
Oh, how we laughed.
Oz means... Oz means different things to different people. You talk on Oz, 60 seconds, starting now.
Oz is short for Australia. I've been there, you know, 2 weeks. Just recently did the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which I triumphed at. Oh, the reviews. Do you know, it's great going to Australia at the moment because it's really cheap. Do you want to see my boots? Look at these boots. No, let them see my boots before. Look.
Jenny, your boots are wonderful, but we're not on television, my love. This is radio. I should explain to our listeners. She got up on the desk, showed off her boots, and someone challenged you, which was Julian, and you were hesitating because you actually stopped. Brought the show to a halt as you showed off your magnificent boots.
That wasn't my challenge, actually.
Right. Well, your light came on, Julian.
No, I did challenge, but I wasn't challenging about hesitation.
But what were you challenging about?
Repetition of Australia.
Yes.
Absolutely. I can't give you 2 points. Anyway, 45 seconds, Oz is the subject with you, Julian, starting now.
I've been to Australia as well, a little island called Orpheus, which is on the Barrier Reef, where you go there to look at the fish. Unfortunately, I had a terrible ear infection. Do you think I could put my head under the water? No, sirree. It's a lovely place, though. They're very open there. They don't care what you say on radio or television in Australia. You can get away with absolutely...
Paul Merton-Jones.
Repetition of Australia.
Yes. 18 seconds. Oz is the subject, Paul. It's with you starting now.
A man called Frank L. Baum, spelt B-A-U-M, wrote a book called The Wizard of Oz sometime in the early 20th century. And although there's a famous film based on that novel, he wrote many. In fact...
Clement Freud-Chalmers.
Repetition of wrote.
Yes, you wrote too much, yes. Clement, you've got him with 5 seconds to go. The subject is still Oz starting now.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful of Oz, is the song that...
So, Clement got the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. When others in the round, he's creeping up on our leader, Paul Merton, and he's a little way ahead of Jenny Clare and Julian Clary in that order. And Julian, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is A Bee in My Bonnet. 60 seconds starting now.
I can't think of anything worse than having a bee in my bonnet, especially if you're bald, like that man down there. Don't mind me saying that, do you? You've got a lovely head of skin. Buzz round, wouldn't it?
Paul challenged.
So... Hesitation.
Paul, hesitation, correct. 50 seconds, a bee in my bonnet, starting now.
As Julian pointed out, there is a man in the front row who hasn't got much hair. One of my favourite anti-heckle put-down lines was in a book I once bought. It said, "Excuse me, sir, are you bald or is your neck blowing bubblegum?" But a bee in my bonnet is something that I do have about anti-heckle lines, in fact, which I've just repeated.
Jenny, a challenge. Whoa. Jenny has challenged, yes.
Heckle. He said heckle twice.
Yes, he did.
Right. So, Jenny, you've got in with the bee in my bonnet. You have 35 seconds. Tell us something about it now.
Once I literally had a bee in my bonnet. I was a bridesmaid for my sister and dressed up like a shepherdess. We were outside the church and there was this guy trying to take photos, but I was leaping all over the gravestones trying to get the bee out of my bonnet. And once my mum got a bee in her pants. She got them off the washing line, put them on. She got stung on the bum.
Julian, new challenge.
We're not talking about bees in your mother's pants. It's a deviation from the bonnet theme.
Yeah.
All right. Julian, you have a correct challenge. 15 seconds, a bee in my bonnet starting now.
A bee in your bonnet would not be a problem, of course, if it was a friendly, neutered bee. It could crawl around and give you a little scratch occasionally. Maybe you could teach it things and then it would move over to the other side of the head, give you another little poke there and maybe crawl inside...
Julian Clary was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal with Jenny Clare in third place, just behind Clement Freud, but out in the lead is still Paul Merton. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Things That Make Me Blush. 60 seconds starting now.
I think increasing my position in second place makes me blush a bit. But what does tend to make me blush, honestly, is having a bet on a horse and realising that the money I placed with a bookmaker is equal to 7 weeks' wages of my Portuguese cleaner. And then I blush with shame. And if somebody would like to take the subject, I would be happy to invite
you. Jenny, you
on
have
behalf chance. Of all the Portuguese cleaners in the country, I'm going to take this round off you, Clement.
Right. So here's your
attention. That includes my Portuguese cleaner.
No, I haven't said start yet,
darling. Oh, right.
Right. 36 seconds, things that make me blush, starting now.
I have no embarrassment gene, so I find it very difficult to blush. That said, the other day, I fell down in front of a load of sixth form boys in Dulwich. I've just wobbled off into the gutter, and they all sniggered. It was awful. I got in my car, and I was the colour of that red nail varnish that Chanel's doing this season. I remember also being a teenager. I was out on a date, and he took me to the recreation park, because it was posh date. I've said date twice, but you'll forgive me. No, you won't.
Paul Challenge, yes.
Dates.
You
dates.
Did date twice, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I've dated more than twice.
We never heard what happened in the recreation park.
My pants fell out of the bottom of my jeans. You know when you wear your pants and your jeans and you put on clean pants the next day, but yesterday's pants are still tucked in the leg? It made me blush. They ricocheted out of the leg of the jeans.
What a pity you didn't save it for the show, because you weren't actually in the show then. But we'll give you a bonus point, because they lie for your pants.
What is it about the women in your family and pants? Your mother gets bees in her pants. Your pants just fall out the bottom of your trousers. Jeans.
Jeans, right. And you have 9 seconds, Paul, on things that make me blush, starting now.
I used to be very easily embarrassed when I was 16 years old. It was torture for me to talk to anybody on the telephone. I hated it. I would ask my mother to...
Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and other points in the round has increased his lead. He's ahead of Clement Freud, Jenny Clare and Julian Clary in that order. And Jenny, your turn to begin. The subject is a sure sign that summer is here. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A sure sign that summer is here is when women take off their thick woolly tights and expose pallid flesh to the sun. I start applying fake tan, even though it smells of burning prophylactic, and make my legs that fluorescent orange of a chicken tikka. I don't care, it's better than looking like an old jellyfish. The other upsetting thing is, you know when you try on last season's clothes and you look like tapioca in a string bag? And you realise that you must go back to the gym. That's another sure sign that summer has begun.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Sorry, finger slipped.
I've said it before, I don't want to say it again. A Freudian slip, right? Yes, he deserved that. So it was an incorrect challenge, so you were interrupted, Jenny, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject, 28 seconds, a sure sign that summer is here, starting now.
Blossom falls from the trees, swallows flit, ice cream vans tinkle their warning, don't run out in front of me, children, bells. And all over is the whiff of the barbecue. That's no.
Clement, you challenge this time.
Hesitate.
That was hesitation. And you have 14 seconds. And the subject is a sure sign that summer is here, starting now.
An 8-foot by 10-foot notice board.
Paul Challenge.
2 feet. 8-foot by 10-foot.
10 foot, yes. Don't often make those mistakes, Clement, but this time Paul got you. 11 seconds, Paul. A sure sign that summer is here, starting now.
Well, you have to be quick to catch it. I think it was a beautiful day this morning and indeed most of the afternoon here in Brighton. It was lovely. The sun was out, people were paddling in the sea. Summer must have arrived.
Right. Paul Merton, more points in that round, one for speaking as the whistle went as well, has increased his lead ahead of the other three. And Julian Clary, it's your turn to begin. The subject, text messages. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Text messaging is a form of communication invented mainly for use by teenagers. However, it seems to have transpired into the rest of the community. Wherever you happen to be, you hear that annoying beep beep noise, and it's just
Paul Merton. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to say. Oh, it's a tough game. Beep, beep
but
noise.
That's one word.
No, it isn't. It may be hyphenated, but we are in radio, as I've said before, and it's what you say, and you say beep, beep, that is repetition. I'm sorry, Julian. They loved you for it, but Paul had a correct challenge. 46 seconds. Text messages to Paul, starting now.
I feel a bit unhappy in challenging Julian there on text messages. I was quite interested in what he was saying because I don't know a great deal about them. I know it's abbreviated words that appear somewhere.
Jenny challenge.
He said no twice.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on, Jenny, let's hear from you on text messages. 35 seconds starting now.
I don't know how to do them. I'm a complete Luddite. I like my messages on blue note paper, written in blood, tied up in pink ribbons.
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, you've got it back, yeah. You see, Paul.
I ran out of personality then, Paul. Yeah.
25 seconds. Text messages, Paul, starting now.
So I think that's what they are. I don't really see the point of them, but I suppose it's a good way of people...
Julian challenged.
Two supposes.
Yes, I suppose that's what they are. You said suppose before.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely certain. And 20 seconds, Julian. Text messages starting now.
I conducted an entire relationship by text. Will you stop staring at me like that?
Think on my nerves. Clement, you challenged.
It's like some great big fishbowl next to me. No idea.
No, I'm sorry you've been challenged by Clement Freud. Yes, Clement.
Deviation.
Why?
Stop staring at me.
I know, stop staring at me.
Nothing.
You gave me a very difficult decision because she was... Jenny Clare, who's sitting beside you, and Clare, there on my left and the other two on my right, she was staring and trying to put him off so as to get in there. So it really was intimidating. And Clement, quite rightly, has got a correct challenge. But I think, to be fair, it was... Because you were intimidating him. I think we won't count that challenge. And we won't have any points scored. But say, Julian, you keep the subject. 16 seconds, starting now.
So, this man that I was seeing texted me on a frequent basis, and I would text back. Eventually, we graduated to the use of a telecommunication system, and I went off him entirely. Isn't it funny how life works out?
Jenny challenged.
Two hymns.
Him, yes.
Him, yeah.
Him. And Jenny, you've got him with 3 seconds to go, and you have text messages. And Julian, sitting beside you, is now going to intimidate you. 3 seconds, text messages starting now.
There are all sorts of abbreviations you can use when texting. It's called netiquette.
So Jenny Clare was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she has leapt forward. She's now almost equal with Clement Freud in second place, just ahead of Julian Clary, but out in the lead still is Paul Merton. And Paul, it's your turn to begin, and we are moving into the final round. And the subject is... do you love us as much as that?
Yes!
We thought you loved us more, but it doesn't matter. Going to the hairdressers is the subject, Paul. 60 seconds, starting now.
I'd like to thank the woman who made a funny noise in the front row, just like, what would he know about going to the hairdressers? But one of my favourite occupations is to go to an old-fashioned barber's in Jermyn Street in London when I've had a shave by them. It's beautiful. They get the hot towels out and the cutthroat razor and they cut...
Jenny?
Hesitation and cut.
Well, hesitation, yes. But 43 seconds, Jenny. Going to the hairdressers, starting now.
I adore going to the hairdressers. They love me going because I'm such a challenge.
Clement Freud challenge.
Me.
Going. But going's on the card.
It's on the card, going.
Sorry, it's all right, Clement. So it doesn't matter. Jenny gets another point. She was interrupted. 40 seconds for going to the hairdressers, Jenny, starting now.
These days, they make me sign a release form before they put more bleach on it in case the whole lot just falls out.
Julian challenged.
I'm on... were there two lots or...?
Yes, probably.
Yes, there were two lots.
Were there?
I have no idea what's coming out of my mouth, darling.
I don't think
you said lot twice. Jenny, you have going to the hairdressers. 30 seconds starting now.
I actually said...
Clement got in this time, yes. That was hesitation. Going to the hairdressers, Clement. For those listeners who tune in... For those listeners who tune in abroad and don't know the features of our four panellists, who are very well known to everyone in this country, Clement Freud doesn't have a great deal of hair on the top of his head. And that's why the audience laughed. I should explain that to you.
You mean that some people don't know what I look like?
There's probably people in China and the Indian subcontinent and all those countries.
How awful.
I know. Well, they write to me and ask for pictures of the team. They want to visualise what you look like. Yes.
And what do you do?
I send them pictures.
You haven't got any pictures of me.
I've got a picture of the team.
Oh, I see, have you?
Yes, the BBC supply it.
Do they?
Yes. We haven't had any pictures taken for a long time, but we should have some more, I think, actually.
Oh, good. They've even... You could send pictures of anybody they wouldn't know. picture of the Beverly Sisters talking to Churchill.
Anyway, Clement, you've got in on going to the hairdressers. 28 seconds, starting now.
The less hair you have, the more you have to go to a hairdresser. It is a strange thing, but wanting to be thought hirsute is not anything that a bald man would desire. Therefore, I go to Jermyn Street, which is in London.
Paul Chalmers.
Well, I think that's deviation. A lot of men who are bald wear wigs, don't they? They bald men do want to be thought of as a suit.
You don't go to a hairdresser for a wig.
No, but... You hadn't got to that bit.
No, I don't think he was deviating from the subject. No, no. So, Clement, you keep the subject. Another point to you. 14 seconds. Going to the hairdressers, starting now.
If you drive up the A12, passing Chelmsford and Colchester, there's an excellent hairdresser on the left-hand side as you go through Saxmundham. I can't recommend him sufficiently. He is a master...
So Clement Freud brought that round to a close with a flourish there, and also gave a little flourish, which was a fine way to finish this particular edition of Just a Minute. So all I need to do now is to give you the final score. Julian Clary, whose triumph so magnificent in the past, just finished in fourth place. Jenny Clare, who gives such incredible value and everything that she does, and... particularly the hairdressers... finished just ahead of him, and she was 2 points behind Clement Freud, who always gives great value, and one man who gives extremely good value, and once again got the most points. We say, Paul Merton, you are the winner this week. So, congratulations to our four clever and delightful players of the game. We thank Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Jenny Eclair, and Clement Freud. We also thank Janet Haplehurst, who's helped me keep the score, and she's blown her whistle so magnificently. And we also thank Claire Jones, who is our producer and director, who tries to keep us all in order. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game, which we all enjoy playing. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience here in this beautiful Theatre Royal in the city of Brighton, who've cheered us on our way. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, that's enough. Because we've enjoyed ourselves, we've enjoyed having you here. And so from our lovely audience, from our magnificent panel, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye until the next time we tune in and play Just a Minute.